The primary election is almost here. Vote centers will be open May 7th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Make your vote count. Visit vote.indy.gov for more information. This message was paid for by the Marion County Election Board.
Good morning. It is Friday, April 19th, 5 minutes after 10. You're listening to the Kendall and Casey Show on 93 WIBC. So do you remember, I believe it was last week, we had Nikki Kelly on the program from Indiana Capital Chronicle, and we were talking about those billboards from Recenter Indiana. And the billboards were featured in Fort Wayne, South Bend, and Bloomington, and they were urging Democrats to vote in this spring's Republican primary.
Yeah, so they claim their goal is to get more moderate candidates on both sides of the aisle. However, if you look at where their money has gone and you look at their goals, it certainly appears to get the most Democrat-esque Republicans elected and actually elect Democrats.
So last week, they also put billboards up in Indianapolis, Evansville, and Maryville, and now they have come out and endorsed a candidate for governor.
So which... Okay, before we tell everybody who it was, let's just see. Everybody riding around doing commerce and making the world work today. Thank you for listening. God bless you. And thanks for going to work, even though our government really incentivizes you to do as little work as possible these days. You're making society work. Okay, if you were of these six candidates, so you've got Braun, you got Doden, you got Chambers, you got Suzanne Crouch, you got Curtis Hill, and you got Rittenour. Of those six people, which candidate in your mind, as you're going down the road right now, do you think the Democrats would most want to see elected governor of the state of Indiana?
Interesting question.
This was so obvious to me, and it's actually ended up being the person that they endorsed. I mean, this was just like, well, duh.
Yeah, they haven't endorsed Brad Chambers.
Of course they have. Yeah. So that should tell you everything you need to know if you're going to go vote in the Republican primary, that the people, this Democrat, they can say whatever they want. I think they gave a bunch of money to Destiny Wells. I think that came out in one of these stories. So, like, you, the Republican, the Democrats, or this Democrat-leaning, related, whatever group.
PAC, yeah.
Would most like to see elected is Brad Chambers.
Right. So they said they weren't sure that they were going to endorse anybody, but they decided to make this decision. And they said that he is a veteran businessman focused on boosting the state's economy, thus improving the lives of Hoosiers.
And look, every year we hear about boosting the state's economy. And I don't know about you, Casey, my life ain't getting no better. So whatever they're doing, it doesn't seem to be working. But it makes sense that the Democrats or Democrat-related groups would want Brad Chambers. Why? Because Brad Chambers is an extension of Eric Holcomb. And let's face it, Eric Holcomb lost hundreds of thousands of conservative votes in 2020. Hundreds of thousands of people walked away from the Republican Party and Eric Holcomb to vote for Donald Rainwater. Yet Holcomb still won whatever it was, 54, 55% of the vote, despite losing all those conservative votes, because Democrats crossed over to vote for Eric Holcomb. There were tons of people who had Biden and Holcomb signs in their yards because look at what Holcomb's done over 7.5 years. He's grown government every year. He's raised taxes every single year. He shut the state down. He forced people to wear masks. He had a meet and greet with the domestic terrorist. I mean, look at all of it. Eric Holcomb is a great Democrat governor. That makes total sense to me that the Democrats would want Holcomb's right-hand man, Brad Chambers, to be the governor of the state of Indiana.
So early voting is going on right now, and this year's primary is May 7th. Back in 2020, in the race for governor, only 24% of registered voters cast ballots in the primary.
What was the number?
24%.
That was in 2020?
Yep.
Okay.
And this year, Indiana ranks second to last for voter turnout.
Well, let's get to both of those things. So number one, I think the voter participation is going to be equally low this year because what compelling reason is there to go vote? Unless you have some hotly contested state Senate or state House race. And by the way, again, in those state House and state Senate races, you must vote against all incumbents. If you vote for any person who is currently in office, you are facilitating the problem because every one of those Republicans at the State House has voted to screw you over and over and over and over and over again. And I don't care if that person is in the Rotary Club or the Kiwanis Club or bakes cookies at Christmas or is a nice guy or coaches soccer or whatever. If you vote for an incumbent, you are voting for your taxes to continue to go up in the state of Indiana. But unless you have one of these hotly contested House or Senate races, what compelling reason is there to go vote? This governor's race is a total snooze fest. The Senate race, they kicked the interesting guy, Rust, off the ballot, so Banks wins by default. The only thing that people should be voting on, and if people listen to this show and this radio station, they probably are, is the delegates. Mm-hmm. The most important thing you're going to vote on is the delegates at the state convention because they'll pick the lieutenant governor, which is going to be the most important thing. We give people, both for the most part, zero reason to vote in this state. We make it hard. Not in terms of voting, but we make it hard in terms of being able to run. We make it hard and able to have for people to have viable competition. And by the way, look at this recenter Indiana thing in which they are literally. So remember the thing when they kicked Rust off the ballot was the you heard from the Republicans. Ballot integrity, and it means something to be a Republican. And that brand has meaning, and we have to protect what that is. The primaries are literally such a joke that a Democrat can just walk up to the election clerk and go, I'd like a Republican ballot, please. Mm-hmm. But yet we're led to believe that if John Rust had been on the ballot, somehow election integrity or the entire electoral process would have crumbled at its feet because some guy who had only voted in one Republican primary was eligible to run for public office. I mean, the whole thing. We make people not want to vote. We make it hard to run. We give crappy-ass candidates. People never follow through on their bull crap most of the time. And so why would people go vote?
Isn't it interesting that some of the down-ballot votes are more interesting, more entertaining, more important than the top line?
There is one race that is really going to be interesting to me. And look, this guy could end up getting smoked, or he could end up making it close, or he might, by some chance, win. Rod Bray has a challenger down there in Martinsville. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Rod, one of the Flanders boys, the pro tem of the Senate, who has done a terrible job helping run the state of Indiana, along with Todd Houston. And there's a guy named Jay Hart, who is running against Rod Bray. And if you live in that area, everybody should totally vote for Jay Hart. I don't know Jay Hart. I've talked to him a couple times, but it doesn't matter. Rod Bray's got to go, and he has done a horrible job running this state. And I don't know whether this Jay Hart guy would be good or bad or indifferent. Don't know. Couldn't be any worse than Rod Bray. So Rod Bray, it's very important everybody realize, Rod Bray does have a challenger. And if you want to send a message, booting that guy out would be a great way to start. But there's no reason to vote for the most part for any of these people. Like my ballot, Casey, and I hate this. Every vote I'm going to make is a protest vote. There's not one person other than the delegates that I'm voting for. So none of the traditional offices, my state house vote or U.S. House vote for Bookwalter is a vote against Jim Baird. My state house vote is going to be a vote against Jeff Thompson. I don't even know anything about the guy running against Jeff Thompson. Don't know, was going to look it up, don't even care. I dislike the job Jeff Thompson has done that much that I'm voting for the competition. I can't vote for state Senate because they're both awful. My governor's vote is just solely a protest vote that they kicked Rittenhour off the stage. I don't feel like any of those candidates have actually earned my vote. And so, like, what other than I just feel an obligation to go vote and I feel an obligation to elect these delegates, what? Most people just wouldn't even go vote.
So right now at WIBC.com, you can take the GOP primary voter survey. And I did that myself, and it actually made me do some research on my own.
Oh, yeah. Like who you're...
Who I'm going to vote for, because right now I've got Andre Carson.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So
hey, you got Dishonest Gabe.
I do.
He's trying to visit your primary.
He's in my primary. So I actually had to go look up because I haven't really... Except for Honest Gabe, which I'm seeing him for the wrong reasons. Like, who actually is running in my district? So I had to go do some research.
Boy, yeah, you talk about a just a group of turds you got to choose from.
Right.
I mean, I feel bad in Hendricks County. I'm like,
now, I said,
Casey's
I'm like,
looking at me right now going, really? You're going to complain about your choices?
Come see who I get to pick.
I got a guy who's making up donors.
I know, exactly. And the scary part about that is that he's got some of the most widely known name recognition.
Yeah, it's all bad.
But for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, it's just, and isn't it amazing to you, Casey, that you have still all the crap that's come out on Dishonest Gabe Whitley, mm-hmm. the donors, mm-hmm. you made up the thing about the veterans group. I mean, it just continues. He just keeps doubling and tripling down on just more bizarre stuff. The Marion County GOP has still not said a single solitary word about this.
There is a
big part of me that wants them to be stuck with him in the fall. There's a huge part of me.
I don't want to be stuck
with
him.
Well, I know, and I feel bad for you, but I think the idea that the state party and Marion County GOP would be stuck with that guy, and I also think it would further the investigations into him to find out just how much crap the guy's actually pulled, because that's how they got Santos, if mm-hmm. you remember. Look, if Santos had lost, none of that probably would have ever come out, but because he won, now, nobody is beating Andre Carson. It's going to be 90-10 or 80-20 or whatever. But think about, that's how inept the Marion County party is you have a guy that is making up donors. He's making up veterans groups mm-hmm. that are endorsing him. And they just sit back and don't say a single solitary word about it. And they might be okay if that guy's the Marion County GOP. And it sucks because this is why our city's in the condition it's in. Is it because of the complete ineptitude of the Marion County? How do you think you're ever going to win a mayor's race? How do you think you're ever going to take back the city council when you got this guy out there and everybody knows what he is and you don't hear a word from these people?
Nope, not a word. And I had never even heard of the other people running.
This is why there's a chance he could win.
Like, I hadn't even heard of them. I wasn't getting any mailers or anything.
There is a chance that a guy who is under very serious investigation mm-hmm. from the IED and the FEC, and there could be a lot more that comes out, could be their nominee for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And the state party and the Marion County party just seem content to allow that to happen.
They're okay with that.
Unbelievable.
Well, if you'd like to voice your opinion, you can do that at WIBC.com with the GOP primary voter survey. We would love to hear from you. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Getting something you weren't expecting in the mail, especially if you have a high school senior coming up. Indiana high school seniors can expect to see a letter in the mail, and it's from the Indiana Pre-Admissions Your Path to College program.
Oh, that sounds uplifting.
Yeah, these are letters that are getting sent out to seniors to notify them of which Indiana college or university they qualify for, and this is based on their junior year GPA and SAT scores. Now, this letter doesn't mean that the student is automatically admitted to any of these colleges that are listed. It's just a way to help Hoosier students figure out their options and education after high school.
So basically they're saying, if you, based on your performance, mm-hmm. here is what we think you would be eligible for.
Yes.
It's like a guidepost.
Yes, exactly. But here's the thing. Some of the state's biggest campuses, like IU Bloomington, Purdue, and West Lafayette, they're not participating in this pre-admission program. Doesn't mean the students can't apply. It just means they're not going to be on the list of the schools that...
So who's not participating?
IU and Purdue.
Hey, the two schools you're most likely to go to, they're not in on this, but this is going to be a great resource for you.
So this past September, the high schools could opt out or opt in for this pre-admission process. And about 80% of high school seniors across the state last year received it. This year, they're looking at more 100% participation in this. But not only does it come with this list of schools that says, hey, this is how well you did. Have you considered applying for this college? It also helps the students research how they can apply and fill out their FAFSA forms.
So basically, they're moving people towards, once again, they're trying to get people into four-year degree programs. Mm-hmm. I mean, we continue to push kids towards that when the reality is, if you look at the economy now, we should be pushing kids away from that and into skills and into trades, because they're going to have a much better chance of earning a much better living much quicker than they would if indeed they're attempting to achieve a four-year degree.
Do you think that this is a way by the state, because this is a state organization that is doing this, to try and keep these high school seniors, graduates here in Indiana, as they, you know, we hear all the time from the Holcomb administration trying to grow the economy in Indiana?
Keep them
here in college, they'll graduate, they'll stay here.
Yeah, but I think one of the things we've talked about, there is, and Abdul has talked about this for years, there's a skills gap. We have a skills gap in our society. But that doesn't mean we have a college gap. We have an economy in which we have jobs that people don't have skills for. And a whole bunch of those skills are not found in a four-year university. Mm-hmm. And it comes back to the radical change we saw, and look, this really, it kind of started in my generation where we moved people out of being encouraged to make things, moved people out of being encouraged to produce things, and we started judging people based on if they had what was oftentimes a meaningless piece of paper. Now, look, if you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer or a rocket scientist, or there's many, many careers where, yeah, a specific area of study, you need that four-year degree or that, you know, two-year extension, you know, with continuing studies or a master's degree or whatever it might be. But there are so many jobs out there, mm-hmm. and you know this, Casey, mm-hmm. where it's, college degree required, where there's no reason.
Right. I feel like that's just the first pass that many HR departments do, just so they can narrow it down. It makes it easy for them. Whoops, sorry, you didn't meet the requirements.
I remember having this conversation with my dad when I was in high school about this exact thing, because I did not want to go to college. I went to college begrudgingly. I actually took a year off in the middle of college. It took me 6 years to get out of college. Now, I did very well in college. I made great grades and was in the dean's list, and but I never really saw the point in it. And I've been proven largely correct about that it was just wasn't something I needed to do. But one of the things my dad told me, and I think in his generation, I think it was true, which was, he said, well, college shows prospective employers your ability to stay with something.
Mm.
And I think that was true when there was actual meaning behind college degrees. Like, I think the generation before mine, they didn't just let anybody stay in. They didn't just try to keep everybody in. But there's such financial incentive now to keeping people in universities that they cater to keeping you in rather than actually teaching you something and preparing you for the next level. So my point in all this is, I don't think college shows that you stick with anything anymore. I just think it shows they stuck with you in many cases.
There were around 244,000 students who were enrolled in Indiana's colleges and universities, both undergraduate and graduate schools, last year.
I wonder, now obviously it's changing because the government is just paying off or forgiving or canceling everyone's debt, but I wonder how long it takes the average person to pay off their student loan debt. Mm. I wonder what that number is. It took me, one of the reasons it took me 6 years to get out of college is I paid cash the entire way. I was a professional part-time student. I went in the summer, I took four classes a semester because I was working. But I wonder if you're a person, because you probably racked up more than just the classes itself. There's rent. If you traveled, there's room and board. There's all of these sort of things. How long that takes somebody to pay that back. And when they get done paying it back, again, if you're a doctor, a lawyer, or whatever, you're going to come out okay in the end. But how many of those people
think it's worth it?
Like, look at Kurt Darling. He didn't need anything he got at Indiana State to be one of the best newscasters in all of Central Indiana.
Is that true, Kurt?
Let's just say I could be doing this without a college degree.
Thank
let's
you. Put it that way. The news with Kurt is next.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
It's time to hear from you. Kendall and Casey present Voicemails. Brought to you by QC Kinetics for non-surgical regenerative medicine treatments at 317-559-PAIN.
This is where we turn the program over to you and you give us your thoughts, questions, comments, smart remarks, whatever's on your mind at 317-684-8444. Interesting. Somebody called the hotline earlier this morning asking for the voicemail line.
Oh, how exciting.
They had the hotline,
yes,
but not the voicemail line.
Someone clearly paying attention and doing all sorts of research.
So that number, 317-684-8444. Okay, somebody wanted to call and kick us off with the Friday edition of your voicemails talking about the Indiana Fever.
Hey guys, have you priced out Fever tickets lately? Almost every game is completely sold out, and the only tickets available are resale. But even the nosebleed sections are going for $200. The floor seats are going for $2,000, and the midsection is going for anywhere from $385 to $750 a ticket. This is insane. She hasn't even played her first professional game yet. And, these are Colts-level tickets. I'm not even a basketball fan. If I go to a Pacers game, I'm there for the pretzel and to watch the cheerleaders. But, you know, we were tempted to try and get a couple tickets just to go see what all the hype is about. But at this price, hell no. Let someone else pay it.
The hype is about Caitlin Clark.
Why is everyone into the Fever this year?
I think you knew that. And I think those prices were going to continue to be high for this first season.
Yeah, but this would be my advice. And consult a trained professional after hearing this advice.
Yeah.
It's just one guy spitballing some ideas. I think I'd wait on that if I were you, if you really wanted to go. Because can you imagine if you're paying that? And I certainly hope this does not happen. But what if she gets injured?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what if...
And doesn't even get in then. Yeah.
Right. What if you've paid that? I mean, and let's face it, the newness factor of it, and you see this with concerts all the time, when some big name artist goes on tour, that it's, you know, insane prices are out of the gate. And then by the time, hey, they're on their 30th night of the tour and you can hit some Midwest city that may not be quite as strong, you can, you know, save a few bucks. By probably the 20th game, some of the newness factor will have worn off. Now, if she's averaging 30 points a game and, you know, like Dr. doing reverse dunks like Dr. J, okay, then maybe you'd have to pay a little more. But if you ain't paying it now anyway, what difference does it make? I'd advise everybody who can't get in on the insanity, just hold off a little bit.
Just be patient.
And see what happens. And here's the thing, Casey, nobody's factoring this in. She could flop.
She could.
I certainly hope she doesn't. I certainly hope she's great for the city.
Mm-hmm.
She could flop. There are all sorts of number one picks in all sorts of sports who have all sorts of can't miss all over them. And then they do miss.
Mm-hmm.
It does happen. Great college games don't always translate to great professional games.
Did you see Tim McGraw was wearing her jersey? He was in concert.
I did.
Yeah,
see that, yes.
Wearing the number 22.
You know, my favorite thing about that is all the women just want to look at him, and then they were posting as though, I think it's so nice that he was. No, you wanted to post this because you like looking at him.
You
come
like
on.
His biceps.
Yeah,
you're not
now.
Fooling anybody. Well, Fanatics has reported that all of her jerseys are sold out, but they will be getting more. They're going to re-up their stock. Okay, so there was that awkward exchange between Caitlin Clark and Indy Star columnist Greg Doyle.
Yeah.
And here's a call about that.
I feel like the way the media's making a molehill out of an anthill on this Greg Doyle thing. If Greg is married after his remarks he made to Miss Caitlin Clark the other day, that's just maybe his wife does what my wife does sometime. She She has this big iron skillet that she hits the back of my head with to straighten me out. Now, she is on the iron skillet a month program, and every time she hits me with one of those iron skillets, it seems like it makes a dent in it. Mm-hmm. Very unusual. I didn't know that could happen to iron skillets. But it does straighten me out, and it's a great tool for anybody that needs to straighten out their husbands. UKC, the wonderful ladies that are married to the folks on your staff there, all types of people. Highly recommended. As for Greg Doyle, Greg, next time you rehearse your script a little bit better.
Iron Skillet of the Month Club. Apparently it's not working if it's of the month.
By the way, just for disclosure, you know my rule with the jerseys, right, Casey? That if you're a grown-ass person, you should not be wearing another
person's name on your back.
That applies to Caitlin Clark,
does
too.
Does it? So is her name on the jersey? I know 22 is.
I'm sure it is. Hey, just put a 22 on there. People will figure it out.
What does that mean?
That totally applies here, too. So, and look, I don't want to get into the battle of the sexes here, but if you're a grown-ass man and you're wearing a grown-ass woman's name on the back of your shirt...
Is that better or worse
than
your mind?
That's worse, Casey.
Why is that worse?
Like I said, I'm not going to get into the battle of the sexes here, but
no,
it's worse.
Why is that worse?
It's all weird, Casey.
I would think that would be...
You're a grown-ass individual, and you're being subservient to another grown-ass individual. Now, again, kids, totally fine.
Don't you have an exception?
College kids? The exception is if it's someone you grew up as a child that was one of your heroes or whatever, then that's fine. So, like, if you were my age and you were wearing a Frank Thomas jersey and he was your childhood hero because you're capturing the nostalgia of your childhood. What I'm talking about is there's going to be some 40-something-year-old dude who's going to be wearing Caitlin Clark's name on the back of his shirt.
Yeah.
And that's a party foul. I'm sorry. That's
just
a party foul.
You don't think that just shows that he's supporting women in sports?
No. He could wear a Fever shirt and that's supporting women's in sports. He's not being subservient to another adult.
Okay. And you can't have a hero when you're a grown person? They have to be from your childhood?
Not another grown person.
Okay. I just want to know what the rules
are.
Casey,
when I was a kid, I loved Hulk Hogan because I believed that the earthquake splash actually put him in the hospital and he came back as an adult.
Yeah.
It's fake.
Yeah.
So we don't believe the same things, right? It's sports. It's fine. You want to support the team. Mm-hmm. That's okay. But don't wear another grown person's name on your back unless it was someone you grew up, idolizing or whatever the phrase is.
In regards to Hulk Hogan, you actually did the opposite. Like you could put on a skull cap, right? To try and be like him, and you did the reverse of that.
Yes, I put more hair in my head.
Right, exactly.
But like, for example, when I went to wrestling many years ago as an adult, I painted my face like the Ultimate Warrior and had the Ultimate Warrior shirt
on. I've seen pictures.
That's because he was my childhood hero. I'm exempted from that. I play by the rules that I set forth for others.
Okay.
I would not, for example, today, who's a modern wrestler? A modern wrestler would be, I would not be wearing a Roman Reigns t-shirt out somewhere. Why? Because I'm a grown-ass man, and he's a grown-ass man.
Okay, good to know.
So I don't think these are unreasonable rules I'm setting forth. Do you?
I would wear a Caitlin Clark jersey. Yeah, for sure.
So
show my support. No, I think it's supporting rising tide raises all boats. I think it's supporting other women.
Kevin.
Playing.
Yeah, I have a jersey of a deceased soccer player.
When did he die?
I think he died in like the 70s.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. It's an old person.
So I can wear that,
It's older
right?
than you. That's fine. If the thing is older than you, or you were a kid when the thing was happening, it's totally fine. You're paying homage to those who came before.
Okay,
you're wearing that Caitlin Clark jersey. You're just a bandwagon person.
Okay. All right. Another phone call. This one is about property taxes.
Hey, Casey and Rob. This is Lori. Appreciate your property tax conversation with Jim Merritt. I live in Indianapolis, and my property tax has doubled since I purchased my house 5 years ago, and I can assure you that my income has not doubled. Yeah. I would like a state legislator to explain why the tax can't be based on what I pay for my house, because that's how I decided what I can afford. It's like I bought a Honda 5 years ago, but I'm now having to pay like my house is a Mercedes. Thanks for all you do and sticking up for the little guy.
Mm. Well, they can. They don't want to because, and this is our fault, and this is where we talked about you have to vote all the incumbents out. There are no good incumbents running. None. None of these people are your friends in the General Assembly. None of them have done anything for you. If you think that person likes you or cares about you, you're wrong. And if you vote for them, you're part of the problem. You have to vote out all of these incumbents. But the reason they do this, they could. Like, that's Rainwater's idea, right? Point of sale. You sell the house, you're making money, you pay the property tax, whatever number we come up with, when at the point of sale. But they don't want to do that because that's going to piss off the schools. Because the schools now are addicted to the money grab. Look at what we just started the show, first hour, with what's going on with Pike Township, which is super gross. Pike Township gets all this money that comes in during COVID, all this federal money. And instead of saying, hey, look, we're going to squirrel some of this away. We're going to do some one-time only stuff that we needed to do, whatever, however you delegate those funds. They hire a bunch of people and create a bunch of government.
Yep.
And then once the COVID money runs out, they go, well, shoot.
But I want to keep the positions.
Well, yeah, we can't get rid of this government. So now that you have a tax referendum, if you live there, where they're going to try to raise your taxes. The legislators fear the schools more than they fear you. And they are not going to fix property taxes until you make them fix property taxes. This is the golden goose right now. They have figured out a way where no elected official actually has to take the heat for this and everybody can blame somebody else. Think about it on this discussion. Nobody ever accepts the blame for this. You have the local officials who say, well, it's the assessor's fault. She assessed your house. The assessor will say, well, I'm following the laws set by the state. The state will say, well, it's the assessor's fault. She assesses your house. Oh, and it's the county's fault because and the towns and cities' fault because they set your tax rate. It's just like the judge, the crime problem in Marion County, where the prosecutor points at the judge. The judge points at the prosecutor. The prosecutors point at the legislature. Everybody just keeps pointing at each other instead of somebody actually solving the problem.
Phone call about term limits and how we feel about that.
Quick question. What are your thoughts on term limits for Congress since yesterday when none of the Democrats showed up for the impeachment hearing on Mayorkas? I think that shows the ultimate slap in the face of the American people and just how the swamp works.
Yeah.
Well, I support term limits, but I think you could solve this issue without term limits. There's a couple things you could do. Number one, no pensions for people who serve in Congress. Government's not supposed to be a career. And if you get, look at Pence and Bouchon,
right,
who conveniently are quitting
right after they're eligible.
Right at the time that they're going to qualify. You think that's an accident? Look at Sparks, who backpedaled. She needs 2 more years to get in the pension program. Think that's an accident? No. Somebody wised her up to that, and she changed her tune. So if you get rid of the pension and the benefits that come with that, look, you go to Congress, you're being a congressman, you're a job, you get paid. I don't have a problem with that. But this idea that we pay these people forever based on if you served 3 years or 3 terms, I'm sorry, 6 years, that's ridiculous. Also, no insider trading. These people want these jobs because they can do stuff that if you or
access
I do it, they go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
You cut away all that. You make them sell every stock. If you're going to run for Congress, you sell everything you have in your portfolio as it relates to the stock market and investments. These people wouldn't want to stay there anymore. Mm-hmm. It would fix itself. So you could get there by term limits, or you get there by choking off the benefits and the money. We have to find out how fat Hammer is.
All right, we'll do that. And it's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com. and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Well, pound for pound, he's one of the best in the business. Jason Hammer joining Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Happy Beer Sample Friday, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought you some tacos in today.
Oh,
you must have a
goodness.
Really big wallet because Taco Bell's expensive right now.
It is. I heard you guys talking about the donuts earlier,
mm-hmm.
but I am a man of the people.
Yeah.
And Rob gave me a winning golf bet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I cashed that ticket. So I said, you know what? I'm going to bring some food into
you
guys.
That's awesome.
You know, this is, I said, this is why Hammer is my favorite coworker, because mm-hmm. cats mm-hmm. will buy breakfast for people, but only for the sales staff, because he sees a path to fortune through them
right.
and tells us to kiss off.
Mm-hmm.
Hammer, on the other hand, mm-hmm. always thinking about the people he has to see each day.
Exactly.
Speaking of sales stuff, real quick before I waddle to the scale, mm-hmm. Only 15 tickets are left for Tales from the Track.
Oh, wow.
Presented by Relay Indiana, Hotel Tango providing the booze. It's our big event with Scott Dixon, Monday of race week. So if you got paid today, mm-hmm. get your tickets right now. Only 15 tickets are left. It might sell out by the time we hit the air this afternoon.
And if you can't afford groceries this weekend, your wife will totally understand if you tell her it's because I got tickets to see Hammer and Nigel.
Yeah.
They'll feed you at the event.
There you go. It's a break-even
Worth
sort of proposition.
It.
All right. So last week I weighed 240.4.
Yeah.
I started this weight loss journey at 271. If I can't beat 240.4, I've got to put $5 into a virtual pot for Rob.
I size you up in the most non-sexual way possible each week, and I have gotten pretty good about being able to tell. I think you're down.
Whatever makes you sleep at night. Let's go.
Here he goes.
All right, here we go, Chubby.
Yeah.
All right.
There we go. Nice.
Here we go.
That's pretty good.
With this kind of weight loss, maybe you will start thinking about me in a sexual way. 239.4.
Wow.
We're into the 230s now. We're down a pound from last week.
New level.
I was thinking about that driving in today. I thought, man, I've become so into Hammer's life. I can know each week whether he's losing or gaining weight. And it's generally not just off your physical appearance, but I know you so well now, it's your attitude. Like, I kind of know, because I'm sure all week you're tracking this, mm-hmm. because that's how much you hate giving me money.
You're right. You're 100% right. So there's a couple things I want to get to here before we wrap up, and I know time's a factor.
Yeah.
So all week long, we've been talking about Casey interrupting Chuck Pagano's perfect day by throwing herself at him at the bar when he just wants to watch golf and gamble.
Yeah.
Well, we pulled a few strings here, and now we kind of know what this would sound like. Thanks to the magic of artificial intelligence and some audio that I happen to have of Chuck Pagano, this is kind of a reenactment. So here with a reenactment is AI Casey Daniels and out of context Chuck Pagano.
Oh my God. Chuck, do you mind if I sit down next to you?
We're going to enjoy this.
Yes, yes, we are going to enjoy this. Do you mind if I take my coat off and grind on your lap?
Keep grinding.
You're so handsome. And to be honest, I didn't think that fake punt against the Patriots was all that bad of an idea.
Again, it's on me, and it was a communication breakdown. It's not on those players.
It's on you, huh? You know what else is about to be on you?
No.
Me. I bet a confident and fun guy like you has a nickname for his manhood. What do you call your junk, Chuck?
Mac and Frank. Whatever you want to call it.
Hey, even though my husband is here, don't worry about him. He's cool. Here's my phone number. Call me anytime. Before I go, what can I look forward to the next time I totally interrupt your day, talk your ear off, and throw myself at you? What is Chuck like in the bedroom?
Keep your blinders on. Keep your earmuffs on. It is what it is.
There it is. There's a little reenactment featuring AI Casey and out of context Chuck Pagano.
I love how you think that's how the conversation went. You know,
that's strong.
His wife was there too, by the way. She was milling about the casino.
But I love you were so into Chuck, you were willing to let the fake punt go. You know, I didn't think the fake punt was such a bad idea, Chuck. Hey, real quick, I heard Rob do his impression of Biden earlier today. Can I hear the Biden impression one more time?
Ice cream.
Now, I've known Rob long enough to know that sounds exactly like his impression of Bruce Springsteen when he's doing Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
True.
That's not Minnie.
It's the same
guy. You guys are in trouble.
It's the same voice.
It's the same picture. It is.
You know what's hilarious is as soon as I did that on the air, I was like, damn, that sounds just like Bruce Springsteen.
You were thinking that in your mind. Nice.
You're Biden and Springsteen's the same guy.
What's coming up this afternoon?
Beer Sample Friday. That's what's coming up. We're going to get Billy Bong Thornton back out. We're going to kickstart the weekend. And nobody is going to have a better time on the radio. We start at 3:06.
Thank you, Hammer. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.